Okay, so this is our third shiur on the sugya. The first two shiurim we were developing basically two major approaches in terms of what the makor for the heter pikuach nefesh is, which thereby impacted the nature of the heter pikuach nefesh. One, I'll say the first normative approach is that the makor for heter pikuach nefesh is v'chai behem, which indicates that the nature of the heter pikuach nefesh, the value of Jewish life, is doche. All these other Yisurim. The other, approach was that the Makor L'maskana is Chalal Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos Harbim. We developed based on that really the value at stake is not, is not this, alternative value of, Jewish life being docha the mitzvah, but rather it's like an internal mitzvah's consideration that it's, strategically it's worth it to be Mechalal, in the case of Shabbos, Mechalal the Shabbos, because that'll facilitate, for future Kiyumei Shabbos. So again, not an alternative value trumping Shabbos, but rather an internal Shabbos consideration.
Why is he about that later? Wasn't that much
missed? Okay. So with that in mind, then we explain, how that second approach is going to read the Gemara, even though the Maskana seems to really imply, the first approach, that seems to be that V'chai Behem is really the Makor L'Maskana, so we explain a couple different approaches in terms of how the second approach, which thinks of Chalal Shabbos Achas, is the makor, how they're going to understand the Shach V'Tarya on Pehe on the base. Fine. But now I'd like to just finish up this, first, section one on the Mar Makomas in terms of this issue of the nature of the Het B'Kuach Nefesh by discussing, two impacted issues, right? Two issues which are, directly, impacted by these two various approaches. Again, some of this will be Chazara, but some of this will, here's why we're doing it again, because there will be some added points. So the first issue, or first impacted issue, is the factor of Chayesha. We already hit it on a little bit, we're just going to expand just a bit. Important Nakuda. So basically, as we pointed out, last time, the Gemara on Pehei Amud Aleph basically is Medayeg from an extra line in the Mishnah that the Heter Pikuach Nefesh even extends to Chayesha. Which means what does Chayesha mean?
We've heard of that.
Period of time. Even when the measure that you're taking, Mechal Shabbos, to save the person's life, it's not going to, save his life on a permanent basis, or as permanent as you can imagine. But it's only going, we can only foresee it being temporary. And even so, the chiddush is that the heter pikuach nefesh even applies to the case of chayesha. So this heter really presents itself as a good test case for what exactly is the value. What exactly is the basis of heter pikuach nefesh? Because a lot of mefarshim are bothered by this heter, and so what's the justification for it? And in justifying the heter of pikuach nefesh in this case of chayesha, they really highlight, what exactly is the nature of the heter pikuach nefesh. So we'll go through this quickly. Some of this is chazara, but some of it is new. So the first approach to the chayesha is in line with the first approach of v'chaybeh. That really exactly right. If you take the first approach of v'chai behem, that really the value of human life is what justifies heter pikuach nefesh. So the simplest way to understand the heter of chayesha is to say that the chiddush of chayesha is that any amount of life, justifies that to be pikuach nefesh. Not exactly. Yeah, there's a kedushas achayim, and the chiddush being not just permanent kedushas achayim, but even a temporary, even a chayesha, even a temporary amount of kedushas achayim is going to justify the heter pikuach nefesh. And in fact, this is, we quoted in the past, this is the approach of both the Minchas Chinuch and the Bir Lacha. Both the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Beis, at the end of his discussion of Lamed Tes Melachos, the Ramaskal Behine Mechaulin, right? Both the Minchas Chinuch there and the Bir Halacha, which we read already in Shin Chavtes, Siv Dalet, they both explicitly state in the context of discussing the heter of Chayesha, they both say that don't bother me. Don't ask the question of, what mitzvah are you going to accomplish during that temporary time? What mitzvah can be accomplished? What kiyum of Shabbos is going to be accomplished? Because l'maskana, the heter is based on v'chai behem. It's all about the value of human life, and therefore it doesn't matter whether there'll be a potential during that chayesha for kiyumei mitzvahs, because really the heter is v'chai behem. So that's the so both Minchas Chinuch and the Bir Halacha again are taking the first approach at the basis of the heter.
Is that your kid?
No, the heter of pikuach nefesh is about kedushas achayim, and therefore, as such, that's the easiest way to explain chayesha. Chiddush being that any amount of kedushas achayim suffices. Fine, but when transitioning to the second approach and the way the approach of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedesh Yishmer, Shabbos Harbe, how those group of Mefarshim are going to explain that to Chayin Shah. So again, it gets a little more difficult, because the question is, you know, during that Chayin Shah, during that temporary time, like, is the person really going to be able to make Chayin a mitzvah? Like, what's going on? And, fine. So we're going to see this group of Rishonim are going to say, yes, that's the case, is only when there is a potential for Kiyumei Mitzvahs. But what we're adding here is a fascinating, you know, two camps even within the second camp. And this is going to get to the heart of the issue about whether, there's probably some makoros for this, whether the factor of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheyishmor, Shabbos Harbe, is that limited to Shabbos itself? Like, you know, call it literal read would take it. If you were a hyper-literalist, is that your phrase I heard? Right? Is it that you take that line literally to say that we're only going to be Mechalal Shabbos if you can facilitate more Kiyumei Shabbosos, but if you can't be Mekayim more Shabbosos, you can only Mekayim other mitzvos, that's not going to suffice? Or no, Lav Davka, and all the fact of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedesh Yishmer, Shabbosos Harbe, all that means is that we're willing to be Mechalal a Shabbos, we're willing to be, you know, to be doche one mitzvah in order to facilitate other mitzvahs. But, right, we're going to invoke that heter, lav davka, if you can fulfill Shabbos in the future, as long as you can fulfill any mitzvah. So you're going to see two different camps within this Chalal Shabbos Achas approach in terms of whether Chalal Shabbos Achas is davka for Shabbos, or whether it is any mitzvah. So let's just document that.
Very quick.
Yeah.
The Mishash also...
The Roshash.
That's what I meant.
Could we get to it first and then we'll discuss it?
Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
Oh.
I wouldn't... I've never dared to do that.
Okay.
Let's see them and then we'll... Okay. And then we'll discuss.
Okay.
Oh, so within what we'll call, like, you know, this 2A approach, that a Dafka Shabbos, and the Chalal Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishmor Shabbos is Harbin, the Dafka Shabbos. So just important to note that this doesn't seem to specifically be a Shabbos thing. It's just about a consistency with whatever, you know, mitzvah you're being docha. Right? In the context of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, right, there you're being docha Shabbos, so then this approach, 2a, is going to say you're only going to be docha Shabbos if there's a potential for future kiyum of Shabbosos. But, as we'll see in the Chasam Sofer is going to note, if you're dealing with the Pikuach Nefesh being docha another mitzvah, so then the only way, the way Chalal Shabbos Achas of this variety would apply itself is that you can only be doche mitzvah X if you can, you know, if that dechia mitzvah X will facilitate the future kiyum of that mitzvah X. So again, this approach is not davka din in Shabbos to say that, oh yeah, only Shabbos can justify a chalal of Shabbos. It's that only the mitzvah itself can, the future kiyum of a mitzvah itself can justify, you know, the dechia of that mitzvah. Which is, it's a fascinating concept, which needs a little more work, which I don't have it fully worked out in terms of, which is like a fascinating concept, that not only is this approach saying that Kedushas HaChaim is not Docha Mitzvah, not just that, but it's saying that even other mitzvahs aren't Docha, you know, a particular mitzvah. The only time we're willing to be Docha a particular mitzvah is when internal to that mitzvah itself, the dechia of that mitzvah will facilitate, you know, the kiyum of that mitzvah itself in the future.
What if there's a mitzvah that you can only perform
once?
I mean, that, right.
Yeah, so then it simply would not apply, according to this approach.
It's like, Brit Milah.
If you come up with a case. But, yeah, theoretically. Yeah. Which is a fascinating concept, that it's that no other value, right? Not the value of Kedushas HaChayim, not even the value of other mitzvahs. No other value can trump a mitzvah. Any mitzvah in the Torah. The only time you're going to be docha a mitzvah is when, from an internal, you know, calculation of the, of, you know, the kiyum of that mitzvah, you know, you can internally justify it by saying, oh, it's worth it to be docha at once because you'll, you know, facilitate the kiyum in the future. So let's just see this inside, and then we'll take, you know, any questions. So the, you know, Mefarshim who say this are the following. Number one is the
Ora.
What?
Do we have a 2B?
Yeah, we're going to know that 2B is going to be those who say that you be docha one mitzvah to facilitate the kiyum of any other mitzvah. So still in 2A, that it's davka, the mitzvah itself. So first you have the Ora Chaim. And although it's Ala Torah, We still, you know.
I'm not raising my hands. I'm just.
You know, I was joking about your Or HaChaim al Torah joke before.
What was my joke?
Never mind. That even though Or HaChaim is al Torah, it's still in Gemara here. You don't remember? It was like an hour ago. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you turn to your Makoros.
I was eating dinner an hour ago.
Mr. Blank. Mr. Blank.
Oh.
Thank you.
right. Yeah.
I remember your jokes better than
that. Yeah. I just make so many.
Yeah. So if you turn to.
The amount of blood of Gemara.
So if you turn to the Or HaChaim on the Makoros. So it's the second sheet towards the bottom of it. It's a fascinating Or HaChaim. He says his idea, right? He's talking in the context of Shabbos and says, the only, right, explicates his idea that you will only be Docha Shabbos if you can facilitate the future Kiyam of Shabbos, and the potential to Mekayim other mitzvahs play no role in this factor, in this case. So I want to go, anyone see the Or HaChaim? Do you have the sheet? Johnny, do you have it? Do you see the Or HaChaim? Can I read for us? So it's interesting, right? Just to point out, we didn't really spell this out, but according to the Chalal Shabbos Achas approach, the reason why Goyim are Mufka from the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is not because, according to the Chai Behem, is that, you know, the Kedushas HaChaim of a Goy is, you know, qualitatively inferior to the Kedushas HaChaim of Yisrael. But according to this, it's a little more PC. Actually,
they can't keep Shabbos.
Exactly. Right, the only reason why, because we're saying, no, in a chanami, you know, from respect of the, you know, the value of life, it's the same.
Nothing I can do.
Nothing you can do. But the whole heter, actually, you know, a little history, this Rabbi Norman Lamb actually used that in the context of a letter he wrote to Emanuel Feldman.
To who?
Noah Feldman.
Yeah, professor of law at Harvard. And
yeah. So in context, it was a big controversy like 10 plus years ago about this heter not applying to Goyim. And the way, right, Norman Lamb decided to explain it to the Hamonam is with the Chalal Shabbos Achas approach, and to say, I believe it did.
The Hamonam?
To the public at large.
Okay.
Is, I think that's the way he said it, is, actually, you might not have. But one way to say it, I might have been my father was saying the proper way to do it. Yeah, I might have been. The best way to explain this to the public is the Chalal Shabbos Achas. To say it's not necessarily taking a stand, you know, the relative value of life, because we were saying it's all an internal, that Shabbos trumps everything. It's an internal Shabbos consideration. That was just Agav. So Or HaChaim is basically pointing out within Chal Shabbos Achas, the reason why Goyim are Mufka from this heter is because they don't have the potential to kind of Shabbos. I'll just finish up Or HaChaim and then we'll, yeah, continue on. I mean, the only time we're going to be Chalal Shabbos is for someone who has the potential to be Lasos, right? To have the potential to be Mekayim Shabbos in the future. What?
He says,
where is it? Where is it? Yeshna Begeder Amal Lasos. Someone who has the potential to do it. Okay. Open. I wouldn't say I wouldn't say it has to be. I don't know if that's what he's necessarily referring to. It could be. As a part of that lesson. Let's just finish
also
up.
Also, according to that person, could be a guy here.
What?
According to that person, could also be a guy here.
Okay. Chusra Maes. That's a different. That's a different. Yeah, we don't take those things into account. Let's finish up. Key punchline here. Right? So it seems very clear in the Or HaChaim that the focus is, right, making it to the next Shabbos. The only time the heter of Chalal Shabbos Achas is going to apply is if you're going to keep him alive for another Shabbos so that he can be Mekayim another Shabbos. And even if you're going to end up keeping him alive for hours or days, presumably within those days and hours there's potential to Mekayim other mitzvahs, such as tefillin, etc. The heter of Chalal Shabbos Achas is limited to a case where you're about to keep him alive to the next Shabbos. That's the key. So again, the Or HaChaim is the first one who takes this approach. The Chalal Shabbos Achas is all within Shabbos itself. The second, Mefarish who takes this approach, which we're going to get to this next, is the Rosh Hashanah's explanation of Rashi. Where Rashi is explaining, in terms of the Gemara, of Lo Savik Shabbos Zubavad, Ela Afilo Shabbos Safi Shabbos Acheres, but we'll get to that. That's the next issue we're going to discuss, but we'll see when we get to that. It's very clear that Rosh Hashanah's understanding of Rashi is in line with this approach, that, you know, the only justification of Chalal Shabbos Achas is future Kiyum of Shabbos. We'll get back to that in a couple minutes. The last last Achron who says his idea is the Tshuva's Chassam Sofer. I'll read this again. He's also on the Makoros. And the Chassam Sofer is the one who points out that Chalal Shabbos Achas is limited to Shabbos, but then he notes that, but it's not limited to Shabbos in the sense, then he says, when you're talking about Shabbos, so then we're only going to be Mechalal Shabbos in order to facilitate future Kiyumim of Shabbos. But he says, if you're dealing with the Dechi of any other mitzvah, then the same rules apply. There are only going to be Docha Mitzvah X if the Dechi of Mitzvah X will facilitate the future Kiyum of Mitzvah X. Again, he points out that within this approach we'll call it 2A, that it's not a Din Shabbos per se, it's just an internal, you know, mitzvah consideration. It's that the only way we can justify being Docha a particular mitzvah is if it internally within the mitzvah itself, you know, the dechia will justify, be justified by more kiyumim of that mitzvah itself. This is the Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer is the next on the Mar Makomos. It's just, let's see this inside because it's an important idea. Do you have any issues?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. What
are you? Here at the bottom.
Yeah, it's in the bottom. Chassam Sofer, being name?
Yeah.
Right, so again, very clear, or explicitly saying that the simple understanding of the line, again, Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmor, not Mitzvos Harbe, but Shabbos Harbe, the implication is that it's limited Shabbos for Shabbos. But then he points out,
this is Vilunis on Shabbos, let's close Kadesh Yishmor, Tfilin Harbe, Vidoma Eilu. So this is Ella Shabbos, Nintcha, Mifin Shabbos Harbe. Kedixiv Lassos Shabbos. So Yalev Lachol Mitzvah
Uvinay, and from this klal we learn out
Yalev Lachol Mitzvah Shabbos She Nitche Mifnei Asma
or Pama
Pamachas Kedesh Yishmar Oso Mitzvah
Mitzvah
Asma Kmosh Paman Leish Yishmar Mitzvah Acheres Elav Oso Mitzvah Asma She Yishmar Kama Paman.
Exactly. So again, he also is focusing on Kama Paman in light of your question before, sure. But yes, again, the Chassam Sofer, again, clearly taking this approach, but also noting that it's not a din and Shabbos per se. I mean, because one could have said, oh, you dafka need Shabbos, because perhaps, you know, Shabbos is such a chamor mitzvah that no other mitzvah, you know, can qualify, you know, can justify the chil of a Shabbos, other than Shabbos. But he's pointing out, it's not dafka din and Shabbos, it's like a broader perspective, that it's about, you know, each mitzvah can only be nitches for itself. It's like an internal, you know, mitzvah consideration. Again, fascinating idea that nothing, no value, you know, in the world can be docha, you know, a mitzvah, not the value of human life, and not even the value of other mitzvahs, except for the mitzvah itself. It's like an internal factor. Yeah.
So let's say a person has a sickness, and we know that he will have to violate two out of every three Shabbos. So they are more Shabbos will be violated than
catch
with that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oh, it's like the Sleeping Beauty problem.
I'm not sure what that is, but it's interesting because we saw the Rav Yosef Engel was discussing a more clear-cut case where he says, right, that if you have a sickness where it's going to cause you to call every Shabbos in the future, that's bullshit. You're asking a case where, you know, the Chul Shabbos will outweigh the Kiyum Shabbos. Yeah, so I guess a literal read would, you know, dictate that you wouldn't apply. What?
It always changed. Now it's, you have to violate two or everything.
You're saying, like, you're saying if you theoretically knew for sure, that would always be the case. Sure. Theoretically. Yeah. So then, yeah, seemingly not.
Why? What's the big deal? As long as they, let's say, you have two Shabbosos.
No, but if the Chil Shabbos, I mean, if you understand that it's like, you know, we're willing to, you know, be built for one Shabbos because the Shabbos is harbe, you know, this is parallel to your question.
But isn't it the case in the Gemara that he's
going to
be sick for 8 days when
he called Bush Shabbos
for the next year?
Well, it's not clear what's going to happen after that. The simple understanding the Gemara is that after those 8 days, after those two Shabbos,
why would it make a difference?
Because if you're seeing it as like an internal calculation of like, you know, how do we best advance, you know, Shemira Shabbos, right. So then one can say, I mean, a little read, as you know, you'd always said before, a little read of Chalal Shabbos, you know, Cole didn't like this, but Chalal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmar Shabbos is Harbe sounds like, you know, it's like in a sense like a numbers game. That, you know, we're trying to advance Shemira Shabbos, or as Chassam Sofer says, you know, Shemira's any particular mitzvah, and we're willing to be Mechalal one in order to get at least two. So you can raise the question in your case where you know the chil is going to outweigh, you know, the kiyum, or in Yehuda's case is, let's say, shtam, it's going to be one on one. You know, for every, let's say in the Chayisha case, we know you can call one Shabbos and you know, facilitate the kiyum of one other Shabbos, but that's it. So again, what do you do in those cases that I'm not sure about? Those are all good questions.
Can I motivate the view that this, like...
Motivate the view?
What?
Yeah.
Can I motivate the view?
I never heard that phrase, but yeah.
Oh.
Advance the view?
No. Provide good reason for believing.
Okay.
It's selfless.
Beautiful.
I didn't mean like that. So the view that... So it seems to me that, right, so I want to motivate the view that the whole, like, keep, break one so that you can keep two, but, you know, maybe... break one so that you can keep... I'm just not... So here's why I think that view might be incoherent. So...
Well, who's incoherent?
That view.
Okay.
The whole, like, put the Shabbases that you can keep on the scales with the Shabbases that you can't. And, this might go some way to solving Aaron's problem. So...
Yeah. Yeah.
If the din is to... The din in the Torah is phrased as, like... This is like a hobby horse I've been riding, but it seems as though.
Should I hurry up here?
Yeah, I'll wait on this.
No, if you have a formulation, just.
No, I do, but it's repetitive. I've said it in the previous.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Fine. Yeah.
Is it possible to suggest that 2A is a combination of like, in other words, Skaver Hefsid, Shemitzvah, and the Yad Ramah view of my chazus?
One more time.
That 2A, the start of 2A, is coming in on Yodeh.
In Yodeh.
I mean, Yodeh, Matan's and they also, like, the day in Yad Ramah, the first day in Yad Ramah, the second day in Yad Ramah, of my chazes.
But it's all about mitzvahs.
It's all about mitzvahs.
Yeah, 100%.
You say that, and then you also say that you can't know the mitzvahs, then...
Yeah, so yeah.
First position.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before, is that what comes out is that there is no other value which trumps a particular mitzvah.
Or
even other mitzvahs.
We can't.
Okay, oh, you're saying technically you don't know. Okay, yeah, okay. I guess there are two ways to say it. Yeah, 100%. That could be a way of saying it. So approach, we'll call it 2B, is that within Chalal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmor, Shabbos is Harbe, so the Seifa of Kadesh Yishmor, Shabbos is Harbe, is a little left afka. It's really Kadesh Yishmor, Mitzvah is Harbe. And this is, you know, advanced by the following genre, many of them we've seen already. So again, the Mi'iri, again, remember who justified, you know, Chayisha by saying what? What was the justification for keeping the person alive for a couple moments?
Tshuva,
right? And Rabbeinu Yonasan, again, I didn't put on the Marmakomas, but the same idea is Rabbeinu Yonasan on Hey Amral Pekape Arif. Again, he says the same idea. The law says, He Shaita Yakir Boro V'Yisvada Al Chata Osov V'Peh Obali. Again, the same idea that during the justification of Chayisha, is that, you know, he'll be able to facilitate, you know, the mitzvah of tshuva. Hey, Mel. So, again, and the, so both the Me'iri, Rabbeinu Yonasan, and the Gilyon Yashas, which you quoted last time, the reveals of Engel, and on our sugya, Pei Hayom and Aleph, again, he cites, you know, the Me'iri, and, you know, spells out explicitly that, you know, the Me'iri, and we'll add the Rabbeinu Yonasan, are implicitly rejecting those who think that it's dafka Shabbos as harbe, right? It's clear that they're expanding, and that's what we're saying, it's approach to be, really to any mitzvah at all. And this idea that Chol Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos as harbe is la dafka Shabbos as harbe, it's really mitzvah harbe. So according to this approach, you know, meaning that which is doche, a mitzvah, is not like an alternative value of Kedushas HaChayim, but within the realm of mitzvahs, mitzvahs can be docha other mitzvahs. So again, you don't, instead of viewing each mitzvah internally, either because matan tzachar and shel mitzvahs, or maybe more fundamentally, because you know each mitzvah can't justify a tachiyah of another mitzvah, like each one has their own realm. This approach is, no, you view mitzvahs, you know, as one group, and we're willing, you know, to be docha one mitzvah in order to facilitate other mitzvahs. So that's the second version of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedesh Yishmor, Mitzvah Sarbe. So again, the Me'iri, Rabbeinu Yonasan, and the Gilyoni Ashas are all taking the second version of that. Good, any questions?
What did the Gilyoni Ashas say?
Gilyoni Ashas quotes the Me'iri. He justifies the Heter of Koch Nefesh V'Chai Yishah based on Vidoy. And then, that, you know, we discussed that last time, but in terms of our issue, and he just like spells out this analysis. But it's clear from the Me'iri that it's Kedesh Yishmor, Mitzvah Sarbe, and Lav Dafka, Kedesh Yishmor, Shabbos Sarbe. So he just like spells it out very nicely. Okay, fine. So Ad Kan is, you know, the first issue we're discussing tonight, which is Chayisha. Fine. The second issue we want to discuss is the first part of the Gemara in our Sigya, which is this case of Lo Safek Shabbos Ubevad, Elafilu Safek Shabbos Acher. So let's read the Gemara inside, and then see the different explanations in the Mefarshim. Okay, anyone want to refresh? Binyana? Starting with two dots. I mean, no, from the top. Lana Lee Sula Maymar.
Okay. She's having a fashion too. Lana Lee Sula Maymar. The whole time she's still having a shot. It's very obvious. You don't need to tell me that. I'm going to go to Marav. Looks like she's a good bad. I'm going to go to Shabbos. So you're going to go to Shabbos. You're going to go to Shabbos now to save him next Shabbos.
We'll leave that date for the moment because the Mefarshim argue what exactly that means.
So they invited him to live for 8 more days, and the first day
or to live for 8 more days, or they need more days. Or the refuah will take 8 days.
No, he needs a refuah for 8 days.
I mean, the refuah, which entails Chol Shabbos, takes 8 days.
So maybe you wait on the first day, you wait till the night, so that you don't have to Chol Shabbos twice.
So the big question, which we're going to see as a machlokas between Rashi and the Rashash, is what exactly is this case of Lo Safek Shabbos Zubavad, Lo Safek Shabbos, Filo Shabbos, Safek Shabbos Acharis. So first let's see Rashi Aladav, Dira Maschel Lo Safek Shabbos Zubavad. Go for it, Binyamin, if you don't mind.
Lo Safek Shabbos Zubavad.
So what does Rashi think Pshat is?
If I don't heal him today, maybe
he'll
die next week.
Exactly.
There's no
suffix, but whether he's going to live through the Shabbos, whether you treat him or not, he's going to live. Vada is going to live through the Shabbos. The only suffix is that he might die next Shabbos. So Rashi says that's a chiddush of the Gemara. That even in that case, where there's no suffix on this Shabbos, there's a suffix for next Shabbos, we're going to still employ the heter of heter pikuach nefesh. So if you turn to the Rashash has a number of questions on this Pshat Rashi. The first question, being a svara question, is what exactly is the chiddush? Anyone want to spell that out? Why does Rashash think there's no chiddush in Rashi's case?
Even if he's going to die on Tuesday,
exactly. The heter pikuach nefesh is whenever the person is in a state of pikuach nefesh, we save him. We never saw a qualification of that it matters which day he's going to die on. So why does the Gemara, according to Rashi, have a chiddush? Oh, by the way, even if he's not going to die on this Shabbos, as long as he's going to die next Shabbos. What do you mean? That implies that if he dies on Tuesday, the suffix is that he would die on Tuesday, that we wouldn't save him. But what are you talking about, Rashi? That's not true. So how does the Rish... And other... He also asks other textual questions, such as, you know, Rashi's pshat in Lo Safek Shabbos Zu Bilvad, that line, what he calls the Reisha, doesn't seem to relate to the Hechidami, or, you know, the 8-day, you know, the Refuah, which takes 8 days, and the question is whether you start the Refuah on Shabbos or Sunday. According to Rashi, that seems to be irrelevant to the case at hand. According to Rashi, the case, the Chiddush is, even if he's not going to die on this Shabbos, he might die next Shabbos. That seems to have nothing to do with the Nehechidami case of an 8-day Refuah, whether you start that 8-day Refuah, you know, on Shabbos or Sunday. That's the other textual question. But in terms of the more, you know, the sodistic, you know, Svara question of why is Rashi focusing on, you know, whether he dies on next Shabbos, so Rashash offers an answer to that question, which gets back to our previous discussion of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishmor Shabbos Zarbis. So let's just see that part inside. Do you have a Rashash open? I'll just read that inside, because it's important for our previous discussion and the overall topic.
Yeah.
I have tons of questions. Exactly. So this is his. This is the one answer. The one question he answers is this. That's good. He does, because it brings out a very important yisod, which connects to our previous discussion, which is why it is all part of the impact of issues. Yeah. Where's that? I think that Chayisha. I mean, on Shabbos itself.
Right. But then the week still, you ain't doing
it. Exactly right. Or if it's on Shabbos, where the difference is, if you don't do anything, he's going to, you know, he's going to live until, you know, both to Shabbos, and if you do something, he's going to live to Sunday afternoon. Since the difference in time of, you know, the impact of your Pikuach Nefesh doesn't facilitate any Kiyum Shabbos, because it's Chol, so it's not going to apply. As you can tell, this is what we were referencing before. This Rishash Peshem Rashi is in line with approach 2a, as he's about to explicate now, that Chalal Shabbos Achas is all about, is Dafka Shabbos. Is specifically about facilitating the future Qiyum of Shabbos and not other mitzvahs. He's about to spell that out even more now.
Oh, and let me ask you, Yom is Kodem Shabbos, so Habba, V'im Yasu, Yechya Od Sha'a, V'Shabbos Habba. That's when you say, M'chai Sha'a. Habba Nisho M'chai Sha'a, the whole look, V'yom Im Lo Yasu, Yom Muslim Al-Khar, V'yom Aleph, V'im Yasu, Yechya Ad Shabbos Habba, V'lo Shabbos B'chwa.
Then he says, where am I getting this from? Why? So again, this is, we recorded this before. This Rashash, at least B'Shem Rashi, again, is another example of someone quoting Chalal Shabbos Achas, even the Maskana. That's why it's the general, you know, second approach. And then, as we said right before, it's of the 2B variety in the sense that he's in the Chayesha and everything is focused on Kiyum of Shabbos and not other mitzvahs would not suffice. So again, I guess we'll get again. The old Rayak Tzas. Here's the last line.
The old
Rayak Tzas,
you're not holding Chad B'Shabbos Kedeshah Tizkeh. Chad B'Shabbos Kedeshah Tizkeh B'Shabbos.
A similar idea that it's, you know, it's worth being Mechal Shabbos in order to facilitate a Kiyam Shabbos. Yeah, so stop there. Now, just one Ara. It's very important that what comes out of this is that, right, so according to, right, we'll call it the Rashash B'Shem Rashi, again, the Chiddush of the Gemara is that, right, we're talking about, you know, being Mechal Shabbos in order to facilitate, you know, more Kiyum of Shabbos. But now if you plug this into the Shach V'Tarya, right, what's the Shach V'Tarya? Lo Sapek Shabbos Zubilvad, El Afilu Safik Shabbos Acheres. So what does that mean? That's saying, you plug in, it's fascinating, that one would have a Havamina, that this idea of Chalel Shabbos Achas would be limited to the Shabbos itself. Which is fascinating. Now, you might think that it's worth, now be Mechal, this Shabbos, if you can extend his life, Chayesha, on this Shabbos. But if the difference, right, in that case where, you know, his life is being threatened on the Shabbos. And the Chiddush is, no, afilu safik Shabbos acheres, meaning, even if for sure he's going to live out this Shabbos, and the Kiddush Yishmor Shabbosos Harbe is only on future Shabbosos, even then, there's a hetta pikuach nefesh. Which is to say that the Havamina, which is a fascinating Havamina, is that it's like, you know, super internal. And we were saying, you know, that, you know, 2a is saying we can't even come on to other mitzvos. We can't even justify the chol of Shabbos to come on to other mitzvos. We're saying now, not only can you not come on to other mitzvos, but perhaps in this Havamina, you can't even come on to other Shabbosos in the Havamina. It's so internal that you can only justify the chol of this Shabbos if that chol of this Shabbos will facilitate more the kiyum of this Shabbos. The maskana is that no, we're not going to go out to other mitzvos, but we can at least branch out to other Shabbosos. Well, not just here, you know, even the havmin is a chiddush to limit chalal Shabbos achas, especially given the lashon, but even beyond the lashon, just the svara of limiting chalal Shabbos achas to the Shabbos itself is like a fascinating, you know, limitation of chalal Shabbos achas, but ends up, you know, being rejected the maskana to extend to other Shabbosos, highlighting this idea that we view all Shabbosos as one unit. But I think if you cheshbon out the Rosh Hashanah's pshat in Rashi and you plug it into the Gemara, then interesting how the Mina emerges. Fine. Any questions on this?
Is there a question?
Okay. So that was the first pshat in this Gemara of Lo Shavik Shabbos Zubavad, is that it relates to Chayesha, and which thereby relates to the broader Chalal Shabbos Achas discussion. But the Rosh Hashanah himself, because he has other kashas which are unanswered, offers a very mechudash understanding of this Gemara, which ends up being a huge, huge kulah, which is like a very bichidish. So, yeah, you want to explain the Rosh Hashanah outside? How the Rosh Hashanah understands Lo Safek Shabbos Zubavad? Any takers? Yeah? We'll read it inside. We'll skip a little bit. Basically, the Rosh Hashanah, after asking his kashas, then in next paragraph, Asher, he gives various halachos, one of which is very important halacha, which we did in our previous sugya of Hakala Kal Tchila, which is the idea of Kfar Nitan Shabbos Litchos, which basically says that once you're being Mechalal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, then you can be Mechalal Shabbos a second time, even if that second chil isn't really required. Because once, Kfar Nitan, Shabbos Litzchos, once a Shabbos is ready, is Chalales, there's no counter pressure anymore. So now the Rosh Hashanah is going to say, based on that Yisod, if we extend that Yisod like, you know, one giant step forward, we can now offer an alternative understanding of this Gemara. So with that, let's see. See, you ask about Ata. It's like six lines up. Benjamin, you want to go for it? Well, so what does that mean?
So since you're going to have to be Mechal one Shabbos, next Shabbos.
Next Shabbos.
If I don't get it, is this Shabbos. So then there's a heter to even do it on the first Shabbos.
Even though it's not make or break. Meaning, the chul on this Shabbos is not really necessary for pikuach nefesh. Huge chiddush being that kfar nitan Shabbos litchos extends between Shabbosos, that once you for sure need to be mechalal the next Shabbos, that creates a heter for this Shabbos as well. So Rosh Hashanah feels the need, justifiably, to justify that huge step. Like, where do you see a connection between Shabbosos like that? So he brings, you know, shitas which you don't paskin like, but it's also, right, it gets to our discussion earlier. He's trying to, it's an important methodological point, where he's basically going to prove from even the Shitos, we don't paskin like, but which really highlight a certain yisod. He's going to say that although we don't paskin like those Shitos, we don't paskin like those particular applications of this yisod, but his particular application of the yisod is accepted. Which sometimes you have that, like we sort of did that this morning, if you recall, where, you know, you Rishonim or Achronim will bring a raya from a certain context to highlight a certain yisod, even if that particular application is rejected, lahalacha, but that yisod might have other, you know, manifestations, other applications which are accepted from us, lahalacha. So here, so what's his raya? He writes again, he has to prove that you have a connection between different shabbases. Right, the Ashkechan, if you don't mind reading.
The Ashkechan, the silver paragraph decreases, the Rebbe Gamliel Machayev, because of us achas b'shabbat zuga, us achas b'shabbat zacheres.
It's a huge chiddush, right? And normally the shear of a kosev, right? It's a malacha kosev. You can't write two osios, right? The shear is two osios. If you do one os, that's chatz malacha. That's nothing. Presumably not even chatz shear, chatz malacha, right? And but yeah, there's a shita which says that if you write one os on one Shabbos, you write a second os on another Shabbos, put the two Shabbos together, and you're chayev. So again, the Rosh Hashanah is pointing to that shita to say, oh, you see. This you saw that there is a connection between different Shabbos. You don't see each Shabbos in isolation, in a vacuum. You see different Shabbos together.
Okay. So even if we don't pass in that way, you'd still say that the idea is still up
there. Exactly. He's going to say the idea of there being a connection between between Shabbos is true. He's going to say the reason why we reject that is because, I'll venture a guess right now, let's just say because each, let's say the Ksivas Os Achas is like zero, as they say, half a half, half plus a half equals one, but zero plus zero equals zero. And as if to say, that was deep, right? Right? It is deep. If you could get beyond the arithmetic and what it represents. But it's to say that here, if you view ksivas os achas as nothing, then there's nothing to be mitznarif. As if you did nothing now and you did nothing then. So even if the yisod is true that the two shabbosas are connected, it could be
right.
Exactly, there's nothing to connect. I just came up with that now, but I think that's a way to justify. So Rosh Hashanah is going to say that. So although we don't paskin like that application of the connection between Shabbosos, that's because each ksivas ozachas is nothing.
Can I bring a kvetch from the fundamental theorem of calculus?
After.
Okay.
But, so Rosh Hashanah is saying, but you still see from there the yisod that we can connect Shabbosos, and therefore in this context, right, and therefore in this context, connection between Shabbos is going to manifest itself, even la'alacha, in terms of parnita and Shabbos litchol. So say that once one Shabbos is chalelas, therefore that creates a chilul in the other Shabbos as well. And therefore it's going to generate a heter. Just before I finish one point, and then the end of the Rosh Hashanah, I didn't have you read this part because it's a little difficult, but it's like a fascinating discussion the Rosh Hashanah has at the end, where it brings up a question. It has tzadim on the following issue. Doesn't matter what the order is. Is there a difference between saying, between the following case, where you know you're going to be mechalal next Shabbos, so is the fact that you know you're going to be mechalal in the future, does that generate a heter now? That's case number one. Versus the case where you're mechalal Shabbos already now, so that could generate a heter moving forward to next Shabbos. So Shash is wondering, perhaps the heter for Anitan Shabbos Litchos, that one Shabbos is Chalelis, that can generate a heter. Perhaps that's only when you're actually Mechalel already. So that's only when you're already Mechalel, so now for a future Shabbos we'll also have a Chalel. But he's not so sure whether you can, like in our case, the Pashupshan in our case, is that you're going to be Mechalel next Shabbos, so the fact that you know you're going to be Mechalel next Shabbos, the Chiddush seems to be that we allow you to Mechalel even now. So he wavers back and forth about whether you can even say that. So if you, he says, perhaps you can't say that. Perhaps you can't say that. No, the fact that you know you're going to be Mechal next Shabbos, that can generate already this Shabbos. He says, and if you're not willing to accept that extension, you're only willing to say that, if you're Mechal now, you can thereby be Mechal in the future, he says, perhaps you can, you can fetch that, maybe that's Pshat in our Sugya as well. Now when it says, lo Sufik Shabbos Zu Bilvad, instead of Zu being now, and Acheres being the next one, perhaps it's the opposite. Shabbos Zu is the next Shabbos, and Acheres is now. That's the one way to fit it into the Lashon of the Gemara. But again, in short, the Rosh Hashanah's huge yisod is that the notion that we already saw in the Sugya HaKala Kal Tchila and the Raivin and the Rush of Parnitan Shabbos Litzchol, that once Shabbos is Chalelas, that generates a heter for other Chilulei Shabbos, that is not limited to within a Shabbos, that also extends between Shabbosos, and then in short, the Rosh Hashanah is Mesupuk, but whether that only applies once there's a Chilul moving forward, or whether it could also apply, Lemafraya, to say that once we expect to be Mechal in the future, you can Mechal now as well. Yeah, Sean.
So, if we say that it only applies that once we're doing it now in the future, how does Rosh Hashanah explain our Gemara here?
Yes, that's it.
Is then he saying that our whole thing doesn't work? The whole explanation that he gave just doesn't work?
No, because he says the case is a little different than he When we read the Gemara, Pash Peshat is Lo Savek Shabbos Zu Bilvad, meaning not the Shabbos that we're in right now, but La Filo Shabbos, Savek Shabbos Acheres as the next Shabbos. So he's going to say, no, you don't have to say that. You can flip it. You can say Shabbos Zu, meaning next Shabbos, and Acheres is this Shabbos. Which basically comes out to say,
What says he can read the Gemara differently? You can read the Gemara differently.
Well, that's what he suggests. He's saying, he reads it and he says, that's an alternative reading in the Gemara, and therefore, maybe the case in the Gemara is the case where you have to be Mechal this Shabbos, and the Chiddush is, and that once you already have to be Mechal this Shabbos, that allows you to be Mechal next Shabbos, even if that, even the Chil next Shabbos is not really necessary for the purpose of Pekuach Nefesh.
So both Hindu and Acheres means this week?
What?
Both Hindu and Acheres means this week.
Yeah.
That's pretty...
What? Yeah. It's a little dachuk. <dachuk.
laughs> It's Rat, he claims it's possible even by saying that if we have to be Mechal on this Shabbos, then we can... Because
there's
something about
us,
we can also
be Mechal. Next Shabbos, yeah, that's okay. If you see the end. Yeah, he says, I read inside if you don't believe me. V'yesh lefarish, v'had de ka'amar, ma'al de tema li'aki ba'ad lu'ur, one second. V'chein had de lo safek Shabbos zu, v'ela afilo safek Shabbos acheres, kai al Shabbos rishona. That the Shabbos acheres is going in the first Shabbos. On the first Shabbos, you need the refuah. V'yomaches to Shabbos Hashniyah, and it's the eighth day, right? The second Shabbos that nuchal lahamtin ad l'urta, and that's the one they don't really need. But we say for an eighth on Shabbos l'tchus. Yeah.
I just wondered when we did the hakal sugya, we were assuming the other way that you had to, and you at least have chayim b'skodav. We're assuming you had to have done the action first. And then you would have had to be. Then you could, from that point forward, you could do anything. And the language of the Shkraf was assuming that.
This is all the right, not the. This is the right.
I'm saying with the Bishkraf and the Chaim were the ones that said that once you start, you can write the Hoshra, kind of situation.
Yeah, but that's not exactly. That's a little different point. The point he's referring to, Koronit on Shabbos Litzchos, that was the right. He says if you have a clash between Shechita, Bishabbos, and Nevela, the reason why we favor Shechita is because since you have to do Bishol anyways to cook it,
anyway, I think Yehuda explains, there's no wire here.
Still with us.
he thought that it was because on both sides it's kind of the same starting place. And then from that point forward, so then trying to leave them close like that.
It's actually fascinating because there, I think it's actually Ita, but that it was the, you explained it a bit, because you're doing the Vela, which is Chai. So therefore, I mean, the Kfar Nitan Shabbos Litzchos there was based on the fact that you're going to have to, Havara and Bishol.
Right.
So it's interesting. The Shechita comes first. Okay, either way. So yeah, right, but there the Shechita came first. You're right.
But the fact was that it's...
Yeah. No, yeah, that's important. The Shechita is coming first. So it's actually, this is...
And you're mochel to do the
rest. Yeah, that shows you that the, he quotes that. Yeah, he actually brings a riot from that. It really sounds like it works backwards because there you're saying, because we're going to have to for sure do Havara and Bishol, so therefore we can even start off by doing a Shechita. So that's a Chil now based on expected Chil later. Yeah, Rishash notes that. He has other riots which seem to point against that. But so that does imply that based Kfar Nitan Shabbos Litzchos is even based on expected future Chil. We can mechal right now. Yeah.
So according to Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara is talking about a case where we know that you need the Sevik Shabbos, Sevik Nefeshos right now on this Shabbos.
meaning when he understands it as lo sofek Shabbos zu bilvad, meaning even if you don't need it, maybe basically like it's you know,
you need it on one Shabbos and you don't need it on
exactly, exactly, exactly.
And so we're gonna, even on the Shabbos when you don't,
we
need,
don't
it,
need
you
it,
might need to wait until the nighttime. You can still
exactly. So
it.
Even yeah. Exactly, exactly.
So then, and so when the Gemara says hey chidami kiyunda andu alatam nai yomi, so that's
so he's gonna say that when he says because you can when he's saying that it's like an 8-day refuah and you can wait till the night. The point is for the Rashash, that's highlighting the essence of the case.
Right.
According to the Rashash, yeah, exactly. For the Rashash, it's totally seemingly irrelevant. But for the Rashash, since the whole point of his case is the chiddush that lo safek Shabbos zu bilvad is that you don't need to do it now. The whole point is that yeah, you can just wait ad l'urta. You could wait until the night and start your process, you know, later, and nothing will change based on that. That's why he reads into the Gemara. Okay, so Adkan, we basically. Part one of the sugya, which is you know the nature of the het pikuach nefesh, you know based on the makor, what's going on and different impacted issues. Now we're going to the second part of the sugya, which relates to not the nature of the heter, but rather the scope of the heter, right? In terms of like scope, like issues such as safek, right? So it's clear already in the Mishnah that you know the het pikuach nefesh even applies to safek pikuach nefesh. That was clear in the Mishnah. I mean, remember the Gemara. Rejected every makor which didn't account for that extension of the heter. But what's not so clear is how far do we take this idea? Like how big of a suffix does there need to be, or for us to apply the heter pikuach nefesh? And the first issue we can discuss is the issue of rov. Like when there's a rov which says there's no pikuach nefesh here, are we going to be right mechal Shabbos? We're going to invoke the heter pikuach nefesh even for a meal. So if you turn to Pei Dalet on the base, right, so the Gemara has a discussion about this. So let's, if you don't mind, let's read this inside, and we'll do a little Hakdama, and then we'll get into some of the details tomorrow night. Someone want to start with Amr Yosef, Amr Yudah, Amr Shmuel? This is like after the two dots, the bottom two dots on Pei Dalet on the base. Yudah, you want to read first? See after the two dots of Chabnu Mafsikin.
I'm revising them.
By
Pikuach Nefesh, we don't follow something just because it's a rope. Rather, we consider it to be like a 50-50 always.
Or another formulation is that we're even Choshe Shlamiyah. Different. It could be semantics, but. To say, right, even if there's only a mute chance that it's Pikuach Nefesh at play, we're still going to be Mechal Shabbos or any other mitzvah.
Zechi Dami. So, Inema, the Ika Tisha Yisrael, the Kusi Echad, and they know Ruvi Yisrael. So therefore, so he says that then in that case, then there's, if you say that it's nine Yisrael and one Kusi, then in that case, wouldn't be teaching that then anyway, there's no chiddush.
Yeah,
it's like
you're the Kuch Nefesh is following the rope, yeah. Not the meat.
And it says, Ela Palagamaga, so rather, and then so we say,
even if it's
50-50, so Safek Nefesh is the hakel.
So what's the chiddush? Meaning,
right.
we don't need you to teach me Safek Nefesh is the hakel. Your chiddush is that it's even a meat.
That's essentially the din.
Yeah.
Right. So, Ika Tisha Kusim Yisrael. So when there's a very strong rope, that it's nine Kusim and it's only one Yisrael.
Right, so only miyut supports the heter pikuach nefesh. Even so, the chiddush is we're going to, you know, be choshesh for the miyut.
Right. So it says hanami pshita. That's also pashut, right? The havela lay kava kol kava kamechsa. So we have a principle, right? That basically, like something which is like a set thing, which aren't like movable, sort of that we sort of view them as distinct points that are not like masar to like a with the second one.
Cool. We'll explain this, but you know, just so I guess that's a loaded explanation. But right, so basically, we're saying what's the case, right? At this point, we're assuming, let's say there were 10 people in a group, right? 9 of them are goyim, only one is a Jew, and you know, one person, we don't know which of the group is under rubble, right? So the question is, you know, are we going to apply that to pikuach nefesh? So you're saying. You can't, the Chiddush of Shmuel can't be in that case, because the idea of Kavua is that when the, we'll explain this in just a moment, that when the Leidas HaSafik, right, when the source of the Safik relates to the state of Kavua, where all the parties are, right, when it's all the Tzadei HaSafik, as we call it, right, where all, you know, in this case, where all the people are, right, meaning all the group of people are in one place, and the Safik relates in that place, because, you know, one of those people in that area, you know, was, you know, is under a mound of rubble, right? So in that case, the din is, and we'll explain the svara in just a moment, gzeiros kasef, but what the idea behind the gzeiros kasef is, that we never apply rov in that situation. We always say kol kavua, kemechsa, mechsa dami, it's always treated as 50-50. So once this case is treated as 50-50, then safek nefashas lahakel, so therefore Shmuel's din of being choshe shlomit, again, doesn't play any role. Gemara says, "What's the case?"
Okay, so it says, "So what's going on?" It says, "Lo tzricha." It says, "What's going on here?" The part of the chatzar echad, because basically there's like this, it's like they're going from place to place, like another chatzar. So it's sort of unclear. It's like Rashi, which I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the next part. Yeah. But right now, the thing is pretty clear. Basically, it's not that, you know, right? We're dealing with two chatzaros, right? One there is the original chatzar, and we call it the chatzar echad. So in the first case of Kavua is where the Pikuach Nefesh took place in the original Chatzar, where everyone was. So that's Kavua, because wherever the, whenever the Leidas HaSafik, right, the source of Safik, is where all the, you know, the principles are, that's a case of Kavua. But we're saying, no, this is a case of Parish, where one member of the group moved to Chatzar Acheres, and then the Pikuach Nefesh took place in that Chatzar Acheres. And in this type of case, that's a case of Parish, where one of the study of Safik is removed from the group. So that's the case where we, the Chol Torah Kula, apply the principle of Kol De Parish, Meruba Parish, that whenever one item leaves the group, we can apply the principle of Rov to say that we assume that the one item that left came from the Rov. So we're saying, Dine, you know, Chol Torah Kula would dictate that Rov applies in such a case, and therefore if the Rov is that it's a guy, Dini Rov would dictate that the Heter Pikuach Nefesh would not apply here because we would assume it's a guy. Kamash Malan Shmuel, that the Chiddush here is that we, you know, we override the dinim, the regular dinim of Rov, and we're Choshesh for Mia. It's just not that good. Mal the Tema.
Call the Parish for Rubin Parish, Kamash Malan, the Loha Pikuach Nefesh Acharov. By Pikuach Nefesh, we don't actually follow the Rov, so therefore, even though we would normally apply the principle that, like, because of the probability of by a large amount of people, actually, that the person believing the Chatzar would be part of the majority, that we don't care about whether the person is part of the majority or not, we actually just accept it.
Okay, so very good. So before we see the next part of the Gemara, which gets a little complicated, let's just see the top Tosas on Pehe and Malach, which is where Tosas points out, how does Shmuel know this? How does Shmuel know that we don't follow Rov? Right, there's a din of Achir Rab Mahatos, there's a din in our Torah. So why is the realm of Pikuach Nefesh an exception? Why don't we follow the regular din of Achir Rab and Mahatos in the realm of Pikuach Nefesh? So read Tosas, Shalom Shalom. Would you mind reading? Top Tosas on Pehe and Malach. So how does the way, right? So he basically, according to the Re formulates the drasha of v'chai b'hem v'loshi yomes b'hem as including any, you know, any possibility, seemingly any possibility of pikuach nefesh, right? You have to prevent any possibility of there being a Misas Yisrael, which basically dictates that the heter of V'chai Behem, the heter of Pikuach Nefesh, is going to apply even in cases of Miyot.
So there's no such thing as beyond a reasonable doubt in this case.
Seemingly. We're going to see the next part of the Gemara that we're going to qualify this.
Okay. Qualified unreasonable doubt.
Okay, so before we get into the next stage of the Gemara, just to take a step back and do a quick, you know, background explanation of Kol De Parish Meruba Parish and the exception of Kol Kavok Maksa Maksadami, because I think without a proper understanding of that exception, it'll be very difficult to understand, you know, the whole Machlokas Rishonim in terms of Parish Kula, Parish Maksasaya, which is very complicated. Fine. So basically, it's important to note that At first glance, the exception of Kol Kavua Kamechsa Mechsadami doesn't seem to make, you know, sense from a, you know, a statistical standpoint. And it doesn't, right? Because there's no difference between the cases of Parish and Kavua from a statistical standpoint, right? In both cases, right, if you're trying to deal, right, there's a suffix, right, in this case. Right, one person, one, right, there's a group of 10 people, 9 Gaim, 1 Israel. So whether, you know, the stone fell on one person in the original Chatzer, where all of them were, or whether the stone fell on one of them who had been Porish, who had exited to a Chatzer Acheres, right, statistically, it's still a 9-to-1 probability that it's a Goy over Yisrael. Right? And yet, the Torah says, that the only time we apply Rov are in cases of Parish, when the person, or when the item is removed from the rest of the of Tarovis, or the rest of the, you know, of the Tzadeh HaSafek. So the question is, what's the meaning? It's Xeris Kasef, it should be noted. The fact that we only apply Rov in cases of Parish when there's a separate, when one item separates from the group, that's Xeris Kasef. But the question is there any svar, is there any way of understanding the Din Torah of the exception of Kol Kavua Mechsa Mechsadami, that we do not apply Rov when the Leidas HaSafek relates to the group itself? So there's a larger discussion, but the short synopsis, we'll say, is as follows. Is the parallel is the concept of Ikva Isura. Have you guys ever heard of the concept of Ikva Isura by an Ashim Taloi? So we'll explain. So the Ashim Taloi is a, really quickly, Ashim Taloi is a carbon which you're chayef for when you are mesupuk, whether you violated an avera, which is chayef chatas, which is, you know, chayef karis, if you did it b'mezid, and chayef chatas, if you do it b'shogeg. So again, let's say inichelev. If you for sure inichelev, b'shogeg, right? Right, you know you did it, right? You didn't realize at the time what it was, but you know someone later said, oh, by the way, you know that piece of fat was chelev. So you know for sure you ate it, b'shogeg, unintentionally, so you bring in chatas. But let's say there are two pieces. One was chelev, and one was shuman, which is the kosher.
Shuman?
Shuman is the kosher type of fat.
Oh, like the composer.
So you have chelev, which is usher fat, and shuman, which is kosher fat. So a case where you ate one of them, and you don't know which one you ate. So in that case, you bring a carbon ashem talu.
Is this a suffix feka?
No, we'll get to that.
Right, darn it.
It's one suffix, right? One of the two pieces is
chelev. Like same thing. No.
Just wait. So you have 50-50, right? So in the case where it's 50-50, there were two pieces in front of you. You ate one of them. You don't know which one you ate. You bring an Ashim Talu.
It wouldn't be a specific, right?
But Mishnayos tell you that the only time you have a case of a chi of Ashim Talu is in the case I presented you, when both pieces were in front of you. Where you know for sure it's called Ikva Isura, that the Isra, the Chilev, was for sure in front of you. But in the exact same 50-50 scenario, where there was one piece of fat which you ate, and there's a 50-50 suffix whether or not that one piece was Shuman or Chilev, there's no Ashim Talu there. So again, both cases
what
are...
What is there?
What?
What is there?
You don't bring it far.
If there's a 50-50 chance that the piece of fat that you ate was
Chilev, the two cases are 50-50.
Why wouldn't you... What's the difference in the case? Either way, there's a 50-50... Why does the existence of the...
That's what I'm trying to explain. Okay. So that's the question. Is they're both 50-50? Why does it matter whether the Chilev was actually there?
This is like a fascinating epistemology problem.
Okay. So, just, you know, have 2 minutes and then I'll finish. Okay. So basically, that's called Ikva Isur, where the Isur is for sure in front of you. The fact that the Isur was surely in front of you, so that in Halacha is treated as a more chamor situation. Meaning, when the item is like staring you in the face, when the item is for sure in front of you, we can't ignore it. So again, the yisod is ikva isura. When the isur is in front of you, for sure, even though it's 50-50 whether you ate it, as long as it's in front of you, you can't say out of sight, out of mind. That's ikva isura again. Same thing, whether The only difference between whether two pieces are there or whether it's one piece and it's a suffix, they're both statistically 50-50, but yet the fact that it's in front of you means you can't ignore it because it's sitting in front of you and staring you in the face, figuratively, so that you can't ignore it. That's ikva isura. So I like to suggest, the parallel idea of kavua, kemechza mechzadami, is a parallel idea we'll call ikva miuta, where the miut is staring you in the face, meaning, in the case where the leidas ha-safek relates to the original chatzer. So all 10 people are in that chatzer. So the leidas ha-safek, right, now the rock was thrown into that chatzer. So leidas ha-safek is in that chatzer. So when it comes to kavua, the idea of kavua, the reason why we can't apply rove, we can't ignore the miut, is because the miut is in front of us. Kavua, in all cases, ikva miuta, the miut is staring us in the face. Because the miut is in the same makom of the leidas ha-safek. The point of parish is that you remove, the leidas ha-safek does not relate to the place where the miut definitely is. Because the case of parish where you take one of the items into a separate place, and the leidas ha-safek now is in that separate place, we're saying, oh, now you have one item here. And because you're only dealing with one item, you don't for sure have the miut there. Right? Because the miut could be in that original place. So the difference between parish and kavua is the exact same thing as the difference between ikva yisura and not ikva yisura. Ikva yisura by Ashram Taloi, the chomer of ikva yisura is that when the isur is for sure in front of you. When it's in front of you, you can't ignore it.
Where's the sugya? Where's the sugya? On ikva yisur?
That's increases. But suggesting the same idea by kol kavua kemechsa mechsadame and the difference between kol kavua and parish, they're both the same statistical cases. It's 9 versus 1 in both cases. But the difference is the kavua, where the leidas ha-safek is in the place where all the tzadei ha-safek are, and therefore the miut is in the same place as the leidas ha-safek. When the miut is in the place of the leidas ha-safek, you can't ignore the miut, and therefore you have to be choshesh for the miut. Kemechsa mechsadame. In contrast, the case of parish, where you separate the item, the leidas ha-safek is not related to the rest of, to the whole group, and therefore the miut isn't for sure there, and therefore in that case you can apply rov. We'll stop here. We'll take all questions, but and we're gonna with that yisod of ikva miuta, we're gonna I think better be able to explain, the machlokes rishonim in terms of what the case of parish kulu and parish mitzvah.